This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Busy 10 o'clock hour. The great Mike Tenenbaum is going to join us in a moment. And then CMT at 10:30. And maybe Rick will tell us that story about how he was a bad parent over the weekend.
Not a bad parent. Disappointing. What? Disappointing parent.
Well, I think a disappointing parent would be a bad parent, no?
No, stop.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I was
not a bad
parent.
A Jets hat on the kid?
No, I felt bad, though. He was wearing it. Both kids were wearing their Sam Darnold jerseys.
Oh, God.
I know.
What?
I let them choose. It's their own fault. I said you can pick which team
you want. Yeah, but you should kind of sway them.
No, yes. I should not sway them.
I agree with Dave on that one.
Is this really
the life
choice
you want
to make?
For a lifetime of misery. Don't do that.
To who? Yeah, the Buffalo Bills? You swam towards the Buffalo Bill. What team? The Giants?
Yes.
They stink worse.
No, I don't know about that. Let's bring them in. Let's let Mike Tenenbaum tell us. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
All right, guys. Good stuff. I'm good just listening.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to get your take on a lot of things NFL-wide. So, Giants this weekend. I mean, you hear a lot of, well, they were competitive. Mike, it's another loss. And here's my concern, and that's the offense and specifically Daniel Jones. I guess I'll come out and ask it. Should we be worried about Daniel Jones? Is there just not enough talent that we can't know, or are there signs that maybe there is a problem?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. At some point, he's going to have to grow out of these turnovers, and you know, to have five interceptions again, that was a problem at Duke. I scouted him there. There was things I liked. I could see why Dave Gettleman liked him. He had a great week at the Senior Bowl, as Dave has talked about. But he has consistently, you know, turned the ball over. And at some point, I can tell you, like, knowing Joe Judge's background, like, that's not going to be acceptable. We saw an infomercial about that last night, guys. You could see how long Bill Belichick stomached Brian Hoyer turning the ball over. So I just don't – it'll be interesting to see how long of a leash there is, because Joe Judge is not beholden to Daniel Jones. So those things have to be cleaned up right away. I think it's a fair point. When you look at the skill players they're not frontline by any stretch, but at some point, if you're going to be the starting quarterback, make those around you better.
Mike Tenenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, did you have any issue with the Jets allowing Sam Darnold back in that game?
No, I mean, that's really what you want. To me, Rick, is you want guys that are tough and competitive. And I've dealt with a lot of players that have had that AC joint sprain. And look, we're speculating because we haven't seen the report, the official diagnosis or the MRIs, but typically what happens is you can get through games like that because of the adrenaline and you're in the flow of the game, and typically you'll wake up the next day very sore. Obviously, when it's your franchise quarterback, it's his throwing shoulder, you want to have an abundance of caution. So in some ways, I actually like it because you can see how much it meant to him.
Mr. T, on Sunday, Andrew Thomas gave up five pressures and two sacks. I mean, he was supposed to be one of those guys that would help stabilize the Giants' offensive line. That unit has looked anything but through the first quarter of the season. PFF had him graded as the 66th tackle out of 72 gradable tackles this season. Why is he struggling more than the three other tackles that were taken after him?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise because I liked him as well. I think it just takes some time. He, at Georgia, he's seeing good competition, so that shouldn't be a problem for him. I think part of it is he's a little light, so he has to grow into his body again. He reminds me a little bit of DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who we had at the Jets, similar body build. And look, Daniel Jones put another one on the carpet. They were fortunate, you know, they recovered that. He still had the interception. And we talked about it on Sunday morning, which was that line of, I thought going into the game because of Aaron Donald and some of the other pressure that Brandon Staley, the new defensive coordinator of the Rams, starting to bring, was going to give the Giants, you know, problems. But I did think Thomas would play better, and I expect him, he will play better as his lower body develops.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. The Houston Texans. I mean, we talk about disappointing teams this season. Certainly we have that here in New York football, but the Texans are a disaster. They don't even have their first pick. They don't have the second pick. They're 0-4. They fire Bill O'Brien. What's the future of this franchise right now?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I agree. And they spent more money than any team in the NFL. And usually, as you say, Dave, like you talk about, well, we have a top pick and that's our future. You know, for me, you want to have a process and get the right person. But I know where I would start and maybe end, and that's Jim Caldwell. You know, Jim Caldwell is a guy that had a winning record in Indianapolis. He had a good record in Detroit. He's done a great job with quarterbacks, and you need someone that's going to maximize the ability of Deshaun Watson and stabilize that franchise. if Jim Caldwell was interested, that'd be a guy I would talk to. And the thing about that is you could talk to him right now. You know, he's out, and he's a guy that's really intriguing to me. You don't need the next hot play caller. You need somebody that could be the CEO of your program. This is a $1 billion enterprise, and he'd be a guy I would take a long look at.
I'd be more than happy to let them interview Adam Gase if they're interested. Mike Tannenbaum joins us on the show. Mike, I know it's unfortunate. No one wants to see anyone lose their, you know, their job because of an injury, especially somewhere, you know, the team doctor ends up puncturing your lung. But I mean, after watching Justin Herbert, is there any way that he's not their starting quarterback moving forward?
So I had the really good fortune of working with Anthony Lynn, who's a special, special guy, and I think he's going to be a really good coach for a long time. And we worked together. He's a Parcells' disciple. I think this is really one of those, Rick, where it's an audience of one. Like, you have to sit down with Tyrod Taylor and say, hey, look, I don't want to take your job based on the mistake our doctors made, but I also have a responsibility to the 52 other of your teammates, which is we may have someone really, really special here. And I want to do this, but I want to make sure that I'm going to get buy-in from you. And this may be one of those times, too, Rick, where you very quietly maybe extend him a year or two, give him some more security, because he's a good veteran, he's a good teammate, and maybe you could kill two birds with one stone and say, hey, Herbert won, Taylor's two, but it's a good question. I don't know how you could go back.
Mr. T, I want to go back to the Houston Texans situations. They don't have a first-round draft pick or a second-round draft pick in 2021. They've got some salary cap constraints. How attractive is this Texans job going to be this offseason?
Well, I think it depends on how it's defined, because you know, you could see it as an opportunity if the owner, Cal McNair, is going to be patient, because you may have one of the, whatever, however you rank them, six or seven best quarterbacks on the planet, who's a great kid, he's a leader, he's somebody that you could build a franchise around. So, you know,
and he's under contract for the next 5 years.
That's exactly right. So we could either focus on what you don't have or what you do have. And anytime there's a job opening, it's for a reason. Like, none of these openings are perfect. You know, the opportunities I've got in my career, I always said, hey, you know what, I'm just going to try to make it better, make progress. And, you know, fortunately, you know, I was able to surround myself with good people, and that happened. But it's one of those things where you have to say, this is what I have, this is what I have to clean up. And Deshaun Watson would be a great reason to take that job.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. All right, of all the disappointing teams, and there's a lot, I don't know if there's anybody that's been more disappointing for expectations than Dallas. I mean, did you foresee this at all, that the defense could be this bad? They can't stop anybody, Mike.
Well, I think it goes back to a year ago, Dave. Let's go back to how did we get here? There's a little bit of a cause and effect here, which is they signed Zeke Elliott 3 years before they had to. He had multiple years on his contract. They could have franchised him, and they still haven't paid their quarterback, who is their best player. And what happens is when you pay a position you don't have to or early, it takes away your depth. They lost two good linebackers and Sean Lee, who gets hurt every 10 minutes, and later Van Der Esch, who was hurt in college, and he's hurt again. They have no depth at the linebacker position, and they're playing with Aldon Smith, who is a great story, but he's been out of football for a while, and they lost Byron Jones. I would have kept Byron Jones. That was a great signing by Miami, and I would have not paid Zeke Elliott. And those, not having depth at the linebacker position, not paying Jones and paying Zeke Elliott, are all coming back to hurt.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us in the show. So, I mean, the Browns hung 49 on that awful Dallas defense. I mean, have you seen enough from Kevin Stefanski and this Browns team to buy into them yet?
I like Kevin. You know who I like even more is Bill Callahan. Bill Callahan is their offensive line coach. I work with Bill. Bill's former head coach of the Raiders, University of Nebraska. They're averaging 5 yards a carry, 5.8, number one in the NFL, and it reminds me of those really good Jet teams that I was on with Rex, where Rex always talked about ground and pound. And he used to say to Brian Schottenheimer, our offensive coordinator, he goes, hey, Shotty, I'm going to tell the other team we're running the ball, and I still want to be able to run it. And I really think that's the mindset that you look at Cleveland right now. Baker's been very, very average, guys, and they're still being productive because they have a great running game, a really good offensive line, and a brilliant offensive line coach.
Mr. T, you can make an argument that Aaron Rodgers is playing the quarterback position better than anyone else in the National Football League. 13 touchdowns to zero interceptions. He's actually got half his touchdown passing total that he had last year in the first four games of this year. What's the biggest difference in this version of Aaron Rodgers that we're seeing in comparison to what we saw last year? Everybody's attributing it to, you know, being motivated by Jordan Love's presence. But what are you seeing from Aaron Rodgers when you watch the film?
Yeah, I think, like, last night's a great example, guys. Like, he – this is where, like, I think Daniel Jones could play a million times better. Just play the quarterback position. Use the hard count to take the free shots. When they're playing off coverage and you need a first down, just get it out to a receiver outside the numbers. Like, they're taking the easy things that playing the quarterback position is so underrated, because when you have the defense on their heels, like, when you they know that you have a hard count, that's going to slow down the pass rush even when they're not offsides. He's playing with great accuracy. And the, what him and Russell Wilson, I think, do better than anybody is their movement in the pocket and behind the line of scrimmage is to throw daggers down the field. And when you do that, that really hurts a defense. And you saw Atlanta got out of sorts last night. And I think a lot of it has to do with things, again, like hard count and also his movement. And I think where they deserve credit is when you, like, one of the things I like to study is the prototypes that teams play with. Green Bay has big receivers. Now, they're not all household names, the Lazards, Valdez-Scantling, for example, but they're bigger guys, and clearly that's what they're looking for. And Rodgers, to me, is just playing with, you know, confidence, coolness, and I think him and Russell Wilson are the two best quarterbacks in the league right now.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So last week you said, and Rick didn't believe it, we had to go back to the audio, you said Tennessee, second-best team in the AFC. Having watched Buffalo, seeing what Cleveland looks like, knowing what Baltimore is and continues to be unless they're against the elite of the elite, do you stand by that heading into this huge matchup with Tennessee and Buffalo?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to be proven wrong on Josh Allen, because when you go back to Wyoming, he did not throw the ball accurately. And I've always been raised that that is something very difficult to improve. But his accuracy has gotten dramatically better. Part of that, I think, is because of Stephon Diggs. But you got to go by what your eyes tell you. And he's playing, you know, really, really good football right now. And you look at John Brown and Cole Beasley, like, they really complement one another. But I think Tennessee is also built in a similar way where, you know, Tannehill's playing very well. They got some skill players. And neither team, and this is the old Coach Belichick thing, which is let the other team screw it up. They'll make some mistakes. And Tennessee and Buffalo, I think, are both really well coached. They don't make mistakes. It should be a great game.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, I mean, this is watching that game last night. If it wasn't for, I mean, Hoyer and Stidham, if Cam Newton's playing that game, it may be a different outcome. But, I mean, were you, I know their defense is good, but with everyone that opted out and everything else, were you surprised that the Patriots' D was able to look as good as it looked against that Chiefs team?
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but, you know, they're very disciplined and they played a couple different coverages. You know, they doubled Tyreek Hill some of the time. They played zone where they kept things in front of him, Rick. And I think that what's really frustrating for Belichick is, like, he, when the game was over, the score obviously wasn't even close to representative of how close of a game it was. He had the answers to win that game. If they just kicked field goals on those two Hoyer, the mistake before half is just inexplicable. Like, you have to know you don't have a timeout. And then the fumble, you have to have a clock in your head. Like, if they kick field goals there, we may be talking about a great upset last night. So, again, I think they'll be there to the end. If Cam Newton can come back sooner than later, then I think they're still better than Buffalo. But it's going to be a fun sort of like race to watch. Like right now, Buffalo has a two-game lead, which is truly remarkable.
Mr. T, are you buying into what you've seen from the Cleveland Browns the last 3 weeks, or is it fugazi?
Probably somewhere in the middle. The fact that they're winning and they're not relying on that height-deficient, speed-deficient quarterback gives me hope. The other thing I don't understand is, like, if we're playing the Browns, the four of us, like, rule number one is Myles Garrett is not going to beat us. That is not going to happen. We're going to double and triple that guy every time. The fact that Dallas used, you know, backup players one-on-one made no sense to me. So they're going to be another interesting story. I think this is great, guys. We're going to be talking about Cleveland and Buffalo. I think that's great for our sport, and, you know, it's a great change of scenery.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. The Eagles, they've looked awful. They win that game. I don't know whether they played well or Mullins was just that bad. Is there real trouble in Philadelphia?
Well, look, I just know from a GM perspective, injuries are hard. But when you lose four really good players, you know, they've lost Andre Dillard, their first-round pick a year ago. They've lost Jason Peters, Isaac Salamalu, and Brandon Brooks. That's really, really hard to replace. So, you know, both those teams were beat up Sunday night. And give Doug Peterson credit. You know, everyone's criticizing him for the tie against Cincinnati, but, you know, they're in first place. And I know it's an ugly first place, but you know, the other three teams, Washington, New York, and Dallas, whether it be the Eagles right now. So they may have, you know, they have a puncher's chance because they got a quarterback.
All right, Mike, potentially my last question, unless you say something so brilliant that it just I need to have a follow-up. So, we got, you know, Sam Darnold in year three. We have Daniel Jones in year two. I want to stick with young quarterbacks for a second. So it was announced, or Brian Flores has said that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick will start this upcoming week. At what point do you think we end up seeing Tua?
Yeah, the way I would answer that question is my concern about Joe Burrow, which is Joe Burrow is showing really good flashes, and I know they have to play. You got to take the bubble wrap off, but I don't think Joe Burrow makes it through 16 games behind that offensive line. So I think Miami's being smart. Again, it's not a decision about 2020, Rick. It's about what he looks like in 2025 and 2030. Mm-hmm. And I would just be very patient because they may have someone in there and they want to put him in a position to be successful. And again, if we think about a normal year, guys, we just finished week one. Like, we just got through the preseason. We're going into week one. And I think that bears repeating because these rookies had no offseason program. So why rush a guy that may and hopefully be your franchise quarterback for a long time?
Mike, I'm going to tee this last question up to you because this could have been Rick's head coach for the New York Jets. But looking at the first quarter of the season, the Carolina Panthers are a pleasant surprise, 2-2. They've got a top 10 defense, the 12th ranked offense. What do you attribute to the turnaround that Matt Rhule is making in Carolina?
Yeah, I've always been a Teddy Bridgewater fan. We saw him make plays with his feet against the Cardinals. They're really, really young on defense. You know, they had a draft that was only defensive players. I think they're, again, well-coached, tough, and they're going to, you know, if you saw against Arizona, they took away their explosiveness. And when you do that, you make the other team go the long, hard way. At some point, they're going to make a mistake. So the fact that they're doing this without their best player in Christian McCaffrey is really impressive. And, again, if we go back to the Houston situation for a second, Chris, like, let's look at Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule was on the Giants staff, and then he does a great job at Temple, does a great job at Baylor. So I'm not surprised that he's doing so well.
Am I right to be picking up on this? Are you energized today? It feels like you have a little extra pep today.
Thanks. I do, and that's because of X2 Performance, Dave. It's an all-natural, healthy drink. You can go to x2performance.com. Clean ingredients, all-natural, and I take it every day, and it helps me have really good endurance. So I appreciate you asking me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mike, listen, great. We went all around the NFL multiple times, got a lot covered. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend and stay healthy and stay safe.
All right. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. You too.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Mike Tannenbaum. Now, Rick, you look at the AFC. Would you like to
loaded.
Retract?
Loaded.
Retract?
The AFC loaded AFC.
Loaded, loaded AFC.
Uh-huh.
Loaded.
You can't even say tongue-in-cheek anymore.
Wait, you said the AFC was loaded. Like months before the season, you had no idea. You had zero idea.
You had no idea, Dave.
I knew.
That was before the Patriots signed Cam Newton. It was so.
I'm not even including the Patriots in the loaded. Buffalo is loaded. Buffalo is terrific. That is
a good team.
Daunting offense.
Buffalo is a good team. They're a good team.
That's a really good football team.
It would surprise me if Buffalo didn't win a playoff game this year.
They better.
It wouldn't surprise me. Like, I feel like that's the expectation now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Indianapolis is good. Cleveland looks good.
We really
didn't
know what to
expect
from Pittsburgh, though, right?
Pittsburgh is good. It's loaded. Loaded.
It's now loaded.
Thank you.
Previously, it had two teams, and maybe three.
So,
I gave you credit for three when you said it.
Like Nostradamus, I saw nothing. I knew this.
You saw nothing.
I knew it.
You had no idea what Cleveland was going to be. I was the one that liked the Steelers.
Pittsburgh is really good.
I told you,
I
told you Pittsburgh was going to be good. I liked Pittsburgh. You had no idea what Pittsburgh would be.
I didn't trust Ben Roethlisberger coming back healthy.
That defense is good, though.
I was wrong. He looks good. The team looks good. I didn't trust that.
Defense is nasty.
You see what they asked Mike Tomlin? Like, you're going to have to, you lose your bye, you're just going to have to play right through. He's like, I don't
care. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care.
I
love
that.
I love that attitude.
It was great.
Love it.
I will say this, though. I mean, when Cam comes back healthy, knock on wood, he comes back healthy, that Patriots team is going to be a problem.
Yeah, want no parts of it. I want no parts of it. And I'm pretty sure Andy Reid feels the same way. Because I know the score said 26-10, but that game was a lot closer than that. And their quarterbacks accounted for 4 turnovers. Think about that. The opposing team's quarterback turned the ball over 4 times. You got Pat Mahomes in this all-world offense, and you only beat him by 16 points.
And that was not a 16-point game.
And you know, should have had three turnovers.
It was a 3-point game at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And you probably should have three. I mean, in Mahomes probably should have had three turnovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dropped a lot of picks. I mean, that's a fumble, or that's a turnover. That angers me, that play.
They're on to something, though. The Patriots are on to something. Starting that game with six DBs, like, they're on to something from a personnel standpoint, being able to match up with those receivers and daring Kansas City to run the ball. Like, I think that's the philosophy that you got to have.
Doesn't surprise me. Yeah. This is what he did, 30 years ago against the Bills, right?
Well, yeah, it's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did, Dave. I mean, he went nickel and dime the entire game.
And he said, you want to pick up 5, 6, 7 yards on short passes or on runs? Okay.
But what that does, Dave, is that takes the best player that you have out of the game to some degree. The best player is Pat Mahomes. He's the best player in the NFL.
Yes.
And if I force you to hand the ball off because of the coverages that I'm playing, the personnel packages, then that's me taking the ball out of his hands and putting it in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Good luck beating me that way. I'm not saying the kid's not good, but I'd rather take my chances doing that than with Tyreek Hill and that 4x1 relay team that they got as wide receivers.
And, oh, by the way, the Patriots ran for 185 without Cam Newton.
Yes.
And you bring up you can call it a strip sack, a fumble, an interception, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not exaggerating. That really
– I don't know what it was, but it was a turnover. That's I don't a know turnover. Exactly how
Correct.
You classify.
Awful call. But the
Awful.
Other, I mean,
That's but, a game-changing call.
Okay, yeah, but later in the game, too. I mean, that pass interference on Travis Kelce, sketchy. That going out of bounds, the flop by Mahomes calling a penalty there too was a joke.
Oh yeah, that's a bad call. That's a bad
terrible call.
Yeah.
I mean, they traveled day of game and were right there the entirety of the game with the team we consider the best team in football. Without their quarterback.
Well, right there. I mean, you're talking about six
right
points
there.
Because of those stupid, I mean, Hoyer having a brain fart. And then on top of it, you had the ball go right through Edelman's hand for a pick six. Right through his hands for a pick six.
Yep.
Well, Dave needed that, Rico. Dave had to get on the board
That's
this
a
week.
Joke. Oh, my God. Ooh. Joke.
Terrible picks. Huh?
Joke.
Wait, I have the standings in front of you. Want the standings?
I don't want the standings.
Rick, you're winning right now. You're winning with a 5-6-1 record.
Dave, do we really have to do this? Do
we
really
have
to do this?
And then I'm 4-8, which is dreadful. And I've lost 5 of my last 6. And then I don't know what to say, Chris. 3-9.
It's bad, Dave.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And
you know what? This is as bad as it was a few years ago when I had that epic collapse in the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, this is approaching that territory.
Maybe you're like the Yankees, though. Maybe you're getting it out of your system early, and then playoff time, you'll be red hot.
Okay, well.
Can we just all agree that the best part isn't Canty being 3-9, it's the fact that him and RJ are
0-4 together. 0-4 together. Remember RJ was so, if you give me 3 games, I will pick the winning game of those 3 and we will dominate. 0-4.
He hasn't lost on the K-Show yet. He's 4-0 on the K-Show.
But I don't like that he gives different picks all over the place either.
Well, no, because he has a couple of games he likes. He usually goes into it with like 2 or 3 games that he likes.
So he's 4-0 on the K-Show.
Yeah.
He's two and two with us. He took Houston.
Yeah, he went charges with the K-Show. Well, he went charges with the K-Show, which I thought he would take with us too, but he took what, Texans with us?
Houston -4.5 and they
lost.
Yeah,
brutal pick. Brutal.
I just feel like somebody should take advantage of what I'm doing, because if I'm 0-4 for the last 2 weeks, if somebody goes on the opposite side of that, they'll be in the money.
Very wealthy.
Yeah.
Very wealthy. Today on ESPN Daily, as the NBA Finals head to a dramatic finish, Malika Andrews reports from the bubble on how strange it feels to be at the end. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. CMT at Rothenberg ESPN to get you involved. Questions are already flooding on Twitter. And without any further ado, Rick, have at it.
All right, here we go, boys. Little Tuesday edition of CMT. We're going to start with a Week 4 most important win. Most important Week 4 win. I'm going to give you the Minnesota Vikings. I'm going to give you the Cleveland Browns dismantling of the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm going to give you the Philadelphia Eagles. Most important Week 4 win.
All right. I'll start out here. Okay. I'm going to marry the... It's a tough one. Tough one. I'm going to marry the Philadelphia Eagles.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because I felt this thing falling apart. They were on the verge of falling to 0-3-1. I still think that Dallas is the is the cream of that division somehow. There's a lot of heat on Carson Wentz. So I think it was a huge victory. Granted, Mullins was awful, but still, Wentz was good when he had to be, and the Eagles get the win. So I'll marry Philly. I'm going to cuddle Cleveland.
Bombs and
I think that's a stamp of, you know what, we're here, and we're real, and we're a decent football team. And they ran the ball, like we discussed, you know, nonstop. They go to 3-1, and they're a good football team right now. And only because I don't believe in Minnesota. So it's a win that you can argue saves the season, but saves what? Are they a playoff team? It's hard to envision that for me. I still don't trust Kirk Cousins. So I know that Chris will disagree, and that's fine, and I understand why, but I'm going to trash the Minnesota Vikings here.
Yeah, we're going to disagree on that one. I was with you in marrying the Eagles because I thought that was a big win for them, but for the Vikings, I got to cuddle that one just because they were on life support for their season, getting away from them, and this is a team that came in with the expectations to not only win their division but to compete for a championship. So Mike Zimmer and that team were real, and I thought that was huge for them to get that big win. We'll see if they can use that as a pivot point for their season. And I'm trashing the Browns win just because the Dallas Cowboys are awful. They should be 0-4. And wake me up when the Browns actually beat a team that's worth a damn. Because I'm not impressed with wins over the Bengals, over the Washington football team, or the Cowboys at this point. This game they got coming up against the Colts will tell me more than I've learned about them in the first quarter of the season.
Yeah, that was aggressive. That just seemed like you were trying to be mean to Ray Santiago there with that Cowboys comment.
They are trash. The Cowboys are trash. He knows
that's hurtful. That's hurtful, and he's dead inside because of it.
I got to tell you, as bad as it is for me, I take such joy in that.
All right, here we go. I know there's no such thing as moral victories, but let's pretend for a second that there is. Okay. Most positive you took from a loss. I'm going to give you the Chargers lost to the Buccaneers, the Patriots lost to Kansas City, or the Giants lost to the Rams.
You're up, Chris.
Okay, I'm going to start with this one. I am going to marry the Chargers loss to the Tampa Bay Bucs because it looks like the Chargers have found their franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. The kid threw 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception and went toe-to-toe with arguably the greatest quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. So, yeah, I'd say that the Chargers got their guy, so I'll marry that one. I will cuddle the Pats loss to the Chiefs last night because no Cam Newton, Brian Hoyer, and Jared Stidham combined for 4 turnovers in a handful of bonehead plays, and yet you still found a way to make that a fourth quarter game when Kansas City's offense is just dismantling people. So the fact that you were able to do that, I think you can take some positives away, especially from the defensive side of the ball. And I'm going to trash the Giants getting a moral victory. The Giants need a win. They got to get a win at some point. And quite frankly, I'm tired of saying, well, let's take positives about it and be optimistic. No, how about you not have your quarterback turn the ball over in the red zone on the final possession of the game when you got a chance to be able to tie it up? That's what I want to see. Daniel Jones has got to get his team on the other side of it. So I'm trashing it until the Giants actually get a win out there.
Bravo to you, Rick. Really, really, I mean, bravo. Because you're trying to incite me. You're trying to annoy me. You're trying to anger me. And it worked beautifully. Take solace in a loss. They're 12-40 in their last 52 games. So they the Giants went out to L.A. and they only lost by 8. They kept it close through 3 quarters. Stop it. It's disgraceful. I could not agree more. I am trashing the Giants. Don't even include them in this. Ever again until they start winning a football game. Now, here's where Chris and I are going to disagree. I'm going to cuddle the Chargers. They led 24-7. God knows what they're doing at the end of the first half. Instead of just taking a knee, they're running the football. They fumble it, change the entire complexion of that game. I do like the fact that Herbert looks terrific. But, I mean, if you're New England, that's who I'm marrying. Because you saw that they kind of figured out a way to slow down Pat Mahomes. It's really the first time we've seen anything like that. So I will marry New England.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
All right, here we go. So, yeah, the head coach of the Houston Texans, head coach slash GM of the Houston Texans, get fired. This is Canty's favorite topic. Who's next? I'm going to give you Matt Patricia. I'm going to give you Dan Quinn or Adam Gase.
All right. Two can play at this game. I'm going to marry Dan Quinn.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Because, I mean, how much longer? Calvin really didn't even have a catch last night. They're getting hammered. Guys, tight ends you never heard of until 10 days ago or catch three touchdowns. Dan Quinn cannot be long for Atlanta. And then I'm going to go with Matt Patricia because that thing feels like it's on the verge of falling apart. Remember, he took over a team that was 9-7, and they now can't win games to save themselves. They led 14-0, and that was gone at the snap of a finger on Sunday. And I'm going to trash Adam Gase because the owner came out a couple weeks ago and said he really likes him. And he looks at him as an offensive, I think he said an offensive genius, if I'm not mistaken. He's not going anywhere, Rick. So put your seatbelt on and enjoy the remainder of the season with the Jets and Adam Gase.
This should be who should be the next to be fired, not who you think will be next to get fired.
Offensive genius.
Yeah, I think Dan Quinn is the next one on the chopping block, so I'm going to marry him as the next to be fired.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I am going to cuddle Adam Gase as
Bombs
next to be fired.
Fallacious seeds.
Just because I don't think the Jets are capable of pulling out of this nosedive, and if they weren't able to beat the Denver Broncos on a short week starting their third-string quarterback with all their injuries, I don't know who they're going to be anytime soon, so I'll cuddle that one. And with Matt Patricia, I mean, he's probably going to get fired at some point this year, but I still feel like there's some fight in that dog. Like the Detroit Lions are going out there and they're competitive. So I just think that does buy him a little more time than the other two guys. So I will trash that.
Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
Do we fully comprehend? I know what happened on Thursday, but do we fully comprehend how embarrassing that loss was?
Oh, I comprehend, yes.
Brett Rypien had thrown 9 career passes. He found out on Monday
points.
On a short week.
37.
And they got carved up for 37 points.
37, yeah.
37 points. Mm-hmm. All right, last one for me before we want to introduce some of the listeners' questions. Better team right now, the Seattle Seahawks, Buffalo Bills, or the Green Bay Packers?
Run that by me one more time.
Best team right now, Seattle, Buffalo, or the Green Bay Packers?
All right, Rico, I am going to marry the Packers. And here's why. I just, you know, when you're looking at the offenses of Seattle and Green Bay, I think they're right there because you've probably got the two best quarterbacks, or at least the guys that are playing the quarterback position the best, those two, out of anybody in the National Football League. But I think the difference is on the defensive side of the ball. And Green Bay, to me, has more playmakers. They have the ability to get after the quarterback with Za'Darius Smith. Right now, they're 12th in total defense. Seattle is atrocious on that side of the ball. So I'm going to go with them as being the best team.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I am going to marry the Seahawks just because I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Josh Allen. And I'm going to trash the Buffalo Bills, although I think they're a damn good team.
I'm going to go straight across the board with Chris. I'm going to marry Green Bay because their defense has played pretty well. They get to the quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is just, you know, he's found the fountain of youth. He looks unbelievable. Cuddle Seattle, and I will trash Buffalo.
Exactly, because the NFC is loaded and the AFC is not. I mean, you just completely fell into that trap.
No, I fell into no trap.
You fell right into it.
You even admitted earlier that the AFC is loaded. You said it. We have that on tape.
Loaded.
I made sure to get that.
Of course you did.
All right, here we go. You ready? Real quick, couple for you guys. Next, Mark Gregory tweets in, next best young coach, Matt LaFleur, Matt Rhule, Cliff Kingsbury. Rick, go.
I'm going to marry LaFleur. I'm going to cuddle Rhule, and I'm going to trash Kingsbury.
Wow. Okay. I am going to marry LaFleur as well. I am going to cuddle Kingsbury, and I'm going to trash Matt Rhule.
Okay. Moving ahead, Joey Bag of Donuts says, best quarterback, Rodgers, Brady, Wilson. Chris, you're
I'm going to marry Wilson, cuddle Rodgers, trash Brady.
Yeah,
right now?
Yeah.
We're saying right now,
board.
Right?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, yeah. Agree across the board.
That's correct. All right, and lastly, Kevin Liddy, CMT young unproven quarterbacks, Darnold, Jones, Herbert.
I'm going to marry Herbert. I am going to. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going to cuddle Jones and I'm going to trash Darnold. Has more to do with the organization than it does the actual player.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, once Sam is freed from being a hostage.
Free? From quarterback Guantanamo?
Yeah, from being held hostage. I guess at the moment you'd have to say you would marry Herbert.
Have to.
I would cuddle Darnold and I would trash Jones.
That's your heart. You did that with your heart.
Well, no, it's my heart. But Jones is turning the ball. He just turns the ball over too much. For me.
He looks awful. I'm not gonna.
Like Cassie, I'm telling you this. It kind of freaks me out a little bit, though. Like, of all the quarterbacks in the NFL, and maybe just because we focus in on the Jets and the Giants, when Jones throws a pass, because I mean he throws a pretty ball, she gets like all fired up. She's like, look at that throw, it was perfect. I'm like, will you simmer down a little bit?
Do you know how many throws he made over 20 yards this past week? Just even attempts at over 20?
Zero.
I'm going to say one.
One, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one. They one to Slayton, right?
All. So she didn't get all that excited this week when he was throwing the deep ball.
Well, not even
you got to have time to throw a deep
ball. He's
going to
get killed. They were trying to avoid a homicide is what they were trying to do.
Yeah, no, the offensive line is not look great. All right, there you have it. Another successful edition. We'll do it again on Thursday. Another successful edition of CMT. All right, I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN and 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.